Chapter 2. Tyre and Lark sat together at an unoccupied table in the cafeteria. Being back in that room made Tyre uneasy. As he ate his lunch, he tried to avoid looking at the spot where Daryl had thrown him to the floor.
"The only time I ever had to go to the hospital was when I was a little girl. I fell down my grandma's steps and busted my lip open," Lark said, interrupting Tyre's thoughts.
She was staring at a small straw which she twisted around her fingers as she spoke.
"The doctor stitched it up. I guess you can't notice it now unless you really look for the little scar."
Tyre had not noticed anything unusual until Lark mentioned it.
"Oh yeah, I see where they fixed it,"
he said, leaning in closer to examine her face. A tiny scar ran along the top of her upper lip. Lark suddenly got quiet. Tyre thought she might have been waiting for him to say something nice to her, but that was not Tyre's style. No one ever said nice things to him, and he was not about to treat her any differently. Being nice to people was weak. Not being nice gave you an edge. Tyre's father said that a lot, and Tyre believed it. Dad said he never praised the men in his crew because they would think he was soft and then try to take advantage of him.
"Gotta keep them guessing," Dad once said. "I like keeping them afraid their work isn't up to snuff, and maybe they're gonna get laid off. Make them afraid to take time off when they got a little bellyache or something. It's the way things gotta be done, boy. That's the way a man handles his business."
Lark reached up and touched the small scar.
"Mom's always telling me it doesn't show, but I guess that's a mom for you, huh?"
she said with a faint sigh.
"Yeah, they think lying to you is better than hearing you whine about something," Tyre answered between bites of his hot dog.
He hated the cafeteria food. He often joked that it tastes like erasers and chalk. On days when his and Rodney's pockets were full of other kids' money, they often headed for a fast food joint right after school to get real food. Little chance of that now. Just then, Tyre noticed Daryl and Amberlynn laughing and talking at a nearby table. Amberlynn immediately caught him watching her and turned away. Tyre knew she hated him. Even though she used to flirt with him and he once told her he liked her, the two were now enemies. He shot her a mocking smile before turning his attentions back to Lark.
"Know what, baby?"
Tyre said smoothly. Lark blinked.
"What?"
"You got beautiful eyes," Tyre said.
"Me?"
Lark asked, excitement in her voice.
"They're beautiful, and they cast a magic spell," he added.
He had learned there were times to be sweet, too, especially to get what you wanted. For years, he watched Dad turn on the charm whenever Mom cast her paycheck. She would be planning to go down to the store and get herself a new dress, but Dad would sweet-talk her out of half her money. He would throw her a little compliment, like you would throw a dog a bone, and she would hand over the cash.
"Nobody's ever said anything about my eyes before,"
Lark said softly, turning her head away.
"Well, it's true," Tyre replied. "I ain't never seen no girl with eyes like those. You could be a model in a magazine."
"Are you kidding me?"
Lark asked.
"I'm serious, girl."
A big smile spread over Lark's lips, making the tiny scar vanish entirely.
"She does have a pretty smile," he admitted to himself.
Then, over Lark's shoulder, Tyre saw Amberlynn walking over to their table. He smirked at her as she approached, but she acted as if she didn't see him.
"Lark, why don't you come eat lunch with us next time?"
"Okay," Lark said awkwardly. "Tyre asked me to eat lunch with him today, and we've been having a nice time. Maybe one day we can all..."
"We'll talk in science class,"
Amberlynn cut in, her eyes narrowing. Tyre was about to send Amberlynn running with a harsh insult, but he remembered Miss Spencer's warning and didn't want to give her any excuse to punish him. One bad incident and he would be out of Blueford for good. Then his father would deal with him. Tyre did not want to face his wrath again. He was never quite sure how far his father would go. When he was a boy, Tyre had overheard his brother Warren tell friends stories about how Dad had beaten up men who crossed him, leaving them draped in garbage cans in dark alleys. As he got older, Tyre suspected some of the stories were lies meant to impress neighborhood kids, but some of them were probably true. After Amber Lynn left, Lark said,
I was looking in an old high school yearbook from Lincoln High School and saw pictures of your father. My dad went to Lincoln back in the day, too, but he wasn't a football hero. Your dad was practically on every page of the yearbook. I bet you're proud of him.
Yeah, Tyree said bitterly. He had seen the pictures, too. Dad in his football uniform. Dad making a block. Dad running interference. Dad as most valuable player. When Tyree was younger, he hoped to be a big football star, too, just like Dad. That would have been a way to be somebody despite his lousy grades. But Tyree lacked his father's talent. He constantly fumbled the ball, and his low grades made it a constant struggle just to be eligible for sports.
Did your father ever play football in college?
Lark asked.
He got a college football scholarship, Tyree said. But when he got there, some teachers didn't like him. He lost his scholarship. Ruined his chances.
That's so sad, Lark said.
Tyree rolled his eyes at his own words. He knew he was just repeating his father's old lie. He had heard the story many times before about how the college teachers had it in for Dad because he was black, that they resented a smart black athlete and deliberately sabotaged his future just because of his skin color. Tyree heard repeatedly about how Gil Hobbs would have eventually been drafted by the Broncos or the Cowboys and ended up rich and famous. But out of pure racism, those college teachers ruined his plans. Tyree knew such things happened, but not to his father. The truth was, Gil Hobbs just could not get good grades. Not any more than Tyree. That was the truth, and the truth hurt. Tyree understood that. Dad had made up the lie to hide the fact that he was a poor student. When he was younger, Tyree was also ashamed that he could not get good grades. In middle school, he would often break into a cold sweat before tests, and he just could not seem to focus on books or what his teachers said. To hide his embarrassment, he practiced the one thing he was good at, bullying. Such behavior stopped other kids from picking on him. By eighth grade, Tyree was so big and tough that he got his way without being school smart. And it worked until now.
I bet your dad is really mad about what happened, Lark said. Those athletes make such good money.
Yeah, Tyree said. He's mad all right. Real mad. He won't even watch football on TV. Me and my brother used to sneak over to a neighbor's house to watch it.
Tyree stopped himself. He could not believe he was sharing a personal story with Lark. Even girls he liked did not get him to say so much about himself. He had to remember to keep his guard up. After lunch, Tyree went to Mr. Fitch's history class. Mr. Fitch was a short, balding man who always wore gray suits and hardly ever smiled. The tone of his voice made Tyree sleepy. He was nothing like Mr. Mitchell, who wore shirts with cartoon characters on them and told funny stories. Mr. Fitch even bored the students who liked history. When Tyree sat down in the back row, Kendra Wilson, a girl who used to like him, whispered something to her friend. Tyree could not hear what they were saying, but he knew they were talking about him. Then she spoke loudly enough for the back half of the class to hear.
Hey, he don't look so big anymore, does he? Looks like he's shrunk.
The girls laughed hysterically. Even Harold Davis smiled. Tyree clenched his hands into fists, struggling not to throw his chair across the room at everyone who laughed at him. Tyree wanted his old world back. He wanted things to be as they were before Darryl came to Bluford. At the end of the day, Tyree bolted from Bluford, which felt more like a prison than a high school. Halfway home, he stopped in front of a fast food restaurant, eager to grab a burger and forget the day's humiliation. But when he reached into his pocket, he found only enough change for a soda. Weeks ago, he had money to buy anything he wanted, but not anymore.
Looks like his wrist ain't the only thing that's broke,
said a voice behind him, followed by a chorus of laughter. Tyree turned to see a group of Bluford students walking by on their way into the restaurant.
You keep talking and your face is gonna be broke too,
Tyree shot back as the kids passed. One girl snickered as she opened the door and went inside. Though no one else said anything, the damage was done. Tyree's face burned in anger. Frustrated, he cursed loudly and kicked the restaurant door, sending a knife of pain into his foot.
"Hey, boy, you best get out of here before I call the police," said a middle-aged employee who suddenly came out of the restaurant.
"Yeah, whatever,"
Tyree growled, spitting on the ground defiantly. Frustrated, he turned to head home when he noticed a tall, skinny man standing on the corner ahead of him. The man was watching him closely. At first, Tyree ignored the man, who remained statue-like, but then he recognized the face. The man's name was Bones, and he was practically a legend in the neighborhood. Years ago, Warren had hung out with him for a while, even bringing him to the house once. Bones was a guy everyone feared, someone people sought when they needed something illegal. Though he hadn't seen Bones much since Warren went to jail, Tyree had heard plenty. Countless rumors pointed to Bones as the suspect in many area crimes. Others said Bones had actually committed a number of gang-related hits. Whatever the story, Tyree was in awe of the man. Nobody messed with Bones.
"What's up, little brother?"
Bones asked, his voice crackling like dry leaves.
"How'd you hurt that hand?"
"What's up, Bones?"
Tyree answered nervously, covering his fractured wrist.
"I got problems in school. People messing with me."
Bones lowered his head thoughtfully.
"Hard to get respect in this world sometimes," he said.
"I used to get lots of respect,"
Tyree replied, studying Bones's face, which seemed gaunt and prematurely aged.
"Nobody dissed me, but this little punk snuck up on me and caught me off point. Now everybody's dissing me bad."
Without a word, Bones nodded towards an alley and started walking. Tyree was puzzled for an instant, but he quickly followed. As they turned into the alley, Bones reached into his coat with a swift, smooth motion. He had the quickest hands Tyree had ever seen, like a magician doing a sleight-of-hand trick. In a split second, a gray metal object appeared between his fingers. Tyree's jaw dropped as he realized Bones was holding a small gun. Its shiny steel barrel glimmered in the afternoon sun.
"Here's respect, boy," Bones said, holding out the gun.
Tyree felt his heart flutter as if someone had jolted him with a spike of electricity. He reached out instinctively to touch the gun, but Bones withdrew it with cat-like speed. He smiled at Tyree for the first time. Two of his front teeth were gold-capped. Others, long and discolored, looked like fangs.
"You selling it?"
Tyree asked eagerly.
"Maybe,"
Bones said. Tyree felt as if the world had suddenly shifted. Everything seemed different somehow.
"A gun,"
he thought, as a feeling of excitement and relief spread through his veins.
"A gun is the answer."
It was a way of turning back the clock. With a gun, no one at Blueford would laugh at him. No one would dare disrespect him again. Instead, they would cower in his presence.
"I want that gun, man,"
Tyree said. Bones chuckled, a sickening rattling sound coming from his chest.
"We'll see,"
he nodded.
"We'll see how bad you want it."
"What do you mean?"
Tyree demanded. For an instant, he forgot his fear of Bones.
"Why'd you show me the gun if you ain't gonna sell it?"
"You think about it some more, little brother. Let it stew for a while. I owe it to Warren to make you think on this one. He made his choice and he's living with it. Before you go down the same path, you best do some thinking."
"I don't need to think about nothing. I need the gun now,"
Tyree insisted, his voice rising in desperation. After what happened in the cafeteria, Tyree saw no other way to get his reputation back. And he could not tolerate more days like the one he just had. He had no more patience, not even with Bones.
"How long do I have to wait?"
Bones took a raspy breath and stared at Tyree, his eyes cold and serious.
"This time next week, meet me in the restaurant. Bring $50 with you."
"Next week," Tyree cried. "That's too long."
"The wait will do you good, little man," Bones said. "You're a baby yet. A little baby, that's what I see. This time next week, we'll see if you've done some growing up."
As Bones strutted away, Tyree heard him coughing with a violent chest-shaking rattle. Tyree turned slowly and continued his walk home, his heart racing at the thought of the gun.